Om Sri Sai Ram. I offer my reverential and loving pranams at the divine feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, students, Sai Ram to all of you. I search history in vain to find similar to Sri Satya Sai or anything that can approach his life. Neither history, nor humanity, nor ages, nor nature offer me anything with which I am able to compare or explain. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander and Caesar have established empires. But what did they rest the creations of their genius on? Upon force and fear? Upon hatred and greed? Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba established a kingdom of love with love. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the governments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, have not changed the course of history as much as this one solitary life, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai. Bhagwan gave us various trusts, institutions, etc. All these fade away into a distant, but the most important gift that comes to forefront is Bhagwan himself, and how he has made himself a part of all of us. All of us is even more important, and made us feel that each one of us is important to him and one-on-one with him. That is the best gift that he has ever given us. Now, we have to move forward with his teachings, his form in our hearts, and the voice of God, Bhagwan, will echo into the times of future centuries to come. 18 years ago, on this day, Bhagwan inaugurated 19th November as Ladies' Day with great significance attached to motherhood. Today, we celebrate the same with the prayers and hope that we would continue this tradition on the path set by Bhagwan year after year. With the same spirit, Sri Satya Sai Ishwarama Women's Welfare Trust, the one and only one trust for women, was inaugurated in 2005 by Bhagwan for the welfare of women and children. Since then, his grace and blessings and guidance, with his grace and blessings and guidance, the trust has been able to successfully cross certain milestones suiting the objectives of the trust. Under Mother and Child program of the trust, mobile hospital care for mothers and children goes to 125 villages month after month within 60 kilometers radius of Prashanthi Nilayam. And it gives care to 40,000 women, pregnant women, and 60,000 children, and it keeps giving in future. As an extension of the same, as part of hygiene care, this year, Sri Satya Sai Ishwarama Women's Welfare Trust has taken up construction of toilets as a sanitation program in these villages. Each year, the trust is going to add these units to 1,000 homes, spending nearly 1 crore rupees towards meeting these expenses. The second project that is in the plan for this year is to meet the requirements of rural children. Today, we have picked 50 women from these villages to receive their keys in the presence of Bhagwan for the sanitation project. We have completed construction in 500 homes as of this month, and we are going to complete the next 500 before March 2014. Any progress that we make anywhere in Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations, whatever it is, it may be bhajans or seva projects or education in human values, not only in India, all over the world, or institutions or schools, we believe that we owe it to Bhagwan, without whose blessings these things are not possible. This morning, the first program is a panel discussion entitled Bhagwan's teachings with reference to role of women. It is just an attempt we make to discuss the teachings of Bhagwan. The panel consists of a variety of professionals, and I would like to request the panelists take their seat in the order called. Dr. Girija Raja Ram, a scientist and retired professor, she belongs to C.V. Raman School of Science, currently a researcher in space science with IIT Bombay. Dr. Neelam Desai, associated with the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences from its inception, and now senior consultant, cardiac surgeon and head of department, cardiac and vascular surgery in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. Ms. Doris Hampton, manager and consultant in community development in the United States of America for last 30 years. Worked with Sri Satya Sai Education Human Values for past 27 years, including currently serving on the Sri Satya Sai World Foundation Education Committee. And she's coordinator of Sri Satya Sai Education Human Values Women's Safe House Seva Project, which was inspired, as she says, by Sri Satya Sai Ishram Women's Welfare Trust. Dr. K.P. Sai Leela, retired professor, Department of English, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur. President of the Alumni Association of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and has been actively involved in the Sai Seva projects for the last 25 years. Currently working at the Sri Satya Sai Ishram Women's Welfare Trust, Prashant Nilayam. Dr. Lakshmi, a gynecologist and associate professor at the Gandhi Medical College, Hyderabad for last 26 years. Her grandparents brought her to Bhagwan's lotus feet at the age of 14, and she values this as the most significant thing in her life. And she is a very active participant in Mother and Child Project of Sri Satya Sai Ishram Women's Welfare Trust. Ms. Nina Bordoloi, alumni Satya Sai Women's College, Anantapur, presently teaching English in Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashant Nilayam. Mrs. Priya Sridhar, banker by profession, decided to be a stay-at-home mom and has been a Bal Vikas guru for past 17 years. Musician who has performed publicly, including All India Radio. Ms. Yu Suma, student and alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, currently assistant professor in the Department of Commerce and Management. She is pursuing a doctoral degree in the area of gender and management, focusing on work-life balance and gender bias. Dr. Sue Evans, retired professor of educational psychology and administrative dean, University of Arizona, United States of America, working in Sri Satya Sai Ishram Women's Welfare Trust in Prashant Nilayam for last 8 years. Mrs. Sheila Krishnan, lawyer with High Court of Karnataka for past 25 years, conducts training programs in mediation all over the country. And Mrs. Madhuri Naganand, she is a trustee of Sri Satya Sai Ishram Women's Welfare Trust. Sri Sai Ram. From Aristotle to America, from Calcutta to Czechoslovakia, from Delhi to Dubai, from Sita to Nirbhaya times, from Mahishasura Mardini to Malala, from Satyabhama to Satya Sai students, we have been seeing a bit of struggle, resolutions and reforms in the field of women, their problems, rights, or their asking for equality. Hundreds of centuries have passed, but women is still disturbed, unsettled, and she raises her voice now and then to be heard. What can she do? What can she not do? Is this a confusion in the mind of society or an inner struggle for her? Who is she? What is she? Is she only an object of beauty on the outside or from the inside? Has she come to terms with the role she has to play as defined by society? She struggles to show that she's created equal in the eyes of God and therefore wants that 50% share of the pie in all walks of life, social, economic, cultural, etc. Has she not found her place in the world yet? This is what many women really wonder after years of civilizations forming so-called civilized societies. Bhagwan spoke on a wide range of issues about women, from the idea of an ancient Indian woman to a modern one. Let's listen to what Bhagwan said in this selection of short clips. I request the clips from the studio, please.
Embodiments of love.
Inadu.
Today.
స్త్రీలకు సంబంధించినటువంటి యొక్క గుణగణములను ప్రకటించి ప్రచారం చేసి ఆనందించగోరే ఈ యొక్క 19వ తేదీ ప్రారంభించాము.
The 19th of November is set apart to look into all the matters relating to women and disseminate what is good.
స్త్రీలలో అనేక విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క సత్య సంస్కృతులు ఉన్నవి.
In woman there is virtue and there is good.
భారత స్త్రీలంతా కూడాను కేవలం ఆనాటి కాలం నుండి సత్యమునకై త్యాగం చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
Women of Bharat sacrificed themselves for unalloyed pristine truth.
అలాంటి సత్యజీవులైనటువంటి స్త్రీలు ఈనాడు ఎక్కడ కూడా కనిపించడం లేదు.
We do not find such great women of truth today.
సత్యమునకై తన జీవితాన్ని అంకితం గావించినటువంటి స్త్రీలు ఎందరో ఉన్నారు.
There are so many people who sacrifice their life for the sake of truth.
తన సత్య మహిమచే దావాకి చల్లార్చి ప్రతిచంద్రమతి భారతీయ గాదే.
Is not Chandramati the woman of India who tried to honor her husband?
కుల సతీత్వము అగ్ని గుండాన ప్రకటించి సీత భారత ధార జాత గాదే.
Is not Sita the one, the illustrious woman of Bharat?
కినిషి ధర్మద కిరాతియు భూతి గావించి దమయంతి భారత రమణి గాదే.
Is not Damayanti the great woman who got back everything for her husband?
సత్ప్రసాదర వేష్టి సత్మాసలమిన భర్త దాత పతివ్రత ప్రభావ భావ సంపన్నతకు గాదే భట్టభూమి.
So there are so many women who have been of sterling character.
Akila desalakini upadhyayi kade.
Are they not the teachers for the whole world?
Bharata desamu anadi kalam nundi kudanu anni desamulakunu upadhyaya sthanamlo nichinatvanti ee pavitramaina Bharata desam.
India from time immemorial has been the guide and the teacher for everyone. So the love should become selfless.
ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైనటువంటి ఒక తల్లిదండ్రులు మీరు అభివృద్ధి పరచుకొని ఆ తల్లిదండ్రుల ఆజ్ఞ మీరు శిక్షణ వహించి ఈ క్రమక్రమేణా ఇంకా ముందుకు కావాల్సినటువంటి మీరు కూడా తల్లిదండ్రులుగా రూపొందాలి.
So the parents also should inculcate values in the children. The children should listen to the parents. And tomorrow when you become parents you will have to tell your children the same values.
కనుక ఇలాంటి ప్రబోధన చేసే నిమిత్తమైపోయి ఈ 19వ తేదీ నవంబర్ 19వ తేదీ ఈ దినము పవిత్రమైన దినంగా రూపొందింపచేశారు.
So to give you this message, November 19th has become a very holy day.
నవంబర్ 19th అనేది ఏదో ఒక తమాష కోసం నిర్ణయించింది కాదు.
నవంబర్ 19 is not there for mere.
తల్లుల యొక్క ప్రేమతత్వాన్ని జగత్తుకు చాటాలి.
To disseminate the mother's love to the whole world.
పిల్లలను పవిత్రవంతులుగా రూపొందింపచేయాలి.
And the children should become pure.
ఆదర్శవంతమైన పుత్రులుగా రూపొందించాలి.
They must become exemplary children.
అందు నిమిత్తమై 19వ తేదీ పవిత్రమైన దినంగా రూపొందింపచేశాము.
For this reason, this 19th is become a hallowed day.
కాబట్టి ఈ 19th అనేటువంటి ఇంకా జన్మమంతా ఎన్ని జన్మలు వచ్చినా కానీ ఈ 19th ఏమిటి మారదు ఇంకా.
So time may pass, eons may pass, but 19th will remain. Many years may go by, but the November 19th will never change because it is the outcome of Swami. And on 19th, November 19th, many people do celebrate it.
తల్లియే.
బికాస్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ మదర్ హర్సెల్ఫ్.
మాతృమూర్తియే నిజమైనటువంటి ఒక దేవత.
మదర్ ఈజ్ ద ట్రూ గాడ్.
కానీ అతి దేవతా స్వరూపమైనటువంటి మాతృమూర్తిని ఈనాడు ఎంతమంది గౌరవిస్తారన్నారు.
సచ్ అన్ ఎంబాడీమెంట్ ఆఫ్ డివినిటీ మదర్, హౌ మెనీ పీపుల్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టుడే.
గౌరవించడం పోని ఎంతమంది తనకు తగినటువంటి ప్రేమకు పాత్రలు అవుతున్నారు.
Even if they do not respect it, is all right. But how many of them are giving their love and affection?
తల్లి ప్రేమకు పాత్రలైనటువంటి బిడ్డని నిజమైనటువంటి బిడ్డ.
A true child is one who attains the love and affection of the mother.
స్త్రీ యొక్క ప్రధానత ఈనాటికైనప్పుడు నువ్వు భారతీయులు గుర్తించి,
the importance of a woman should be recognized by Bharatiyas at least today.
స్త్రీలు కేవలము బల అబలలు కాదని,
that women are not weak,
సబలని,
that they are strong,
అత్యవసరము.
And that fact has to be recognized.
ఏ గృహమైనా కూడాను,
any residence,
అభివృద్ధికి రావాలన్నను,
is to progress,
కీర్తిని పొందవలనన్ను,
to earn
సాధన సాధించవలనన్ను,
in order to be successful and respected.
స్త్రీయే ముఖ్య కారణము.
Woman is the prime cause.
కనుక ఇట్టి గృహమునకే కాక దేశమునకే కాక విశ్వమునకే ఒక ఆరాధన దేవత అయినటువంటిది స్త్రీ రూపం.
Therefore, the form of a woman is so important at home, for the country and the entire universe.
ప్రాచీన కాలమునుండి ఈ భారతదేశమునందు ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైనటువంటి ఆచారములు అలవర్చుకుంటూ వచ్చారు.
These practices have been followed since ancient times by Bharatiyas.
ఈ గృహమునకు ఆమెకు గృహలక్ష్మి అని పేరు పెట్టారు.
For a happy home, she is called Grihalakshmi.
అనగా గృహమునందు ఎన్ని విచారములు, ఎన్ని కష్టములు, ఎన్ని బాధలు ఉండినప్పటికీ నవ్వుకుంటూ ఆనందంగా ఈ గృహం యొక్క కీర్తిని నిలబెట్టే నిమిత్తమై తన జీవితాన్ని త్యాగం చేసేటువంటి వారు స్త్రీలు.
Women would sacrifice everything so that everybody would get away from the anxieties, worries and problems.
ఈ స్త్రీలందు ఏడు విధములైనటువంటి శక్తులు ఉంటున్నాయి.
A woman has seven faculties.
సత్యము,
truth,
ప్రేమ,
love,
ధర్మము,
ధర్మ,
త్యాగము,
sacrifice,
సహనము,
tolerance,
సానుభూతి,
compassion,
ఆనందము,
and bliss.
ఈ నా ఏడు శక్తులు కూడా కూడినటువంటిది ఈ స్త్రీ.
A woman is the combination of all these seven faculties.
ఈ స్త్రీ వల్లనే గృహము కాని, వ్యక్తులు కాని, సంతానం కాని దేశ వ్యాప్తి కావడానికి, సత్కీర్తిని తేవడానికి, ఆనందాన్ని అందించడానికి, శాంతి భద్రతను చేకూర్చడానికి ఈ స్త్రీలే మూల కారణం.
A woman is main cause for the peace, prosperity, advancement, progress, welfare, reputation and respect, either at home or at the individual level through her progeny all over the country.
Kanuka,
so
Bharatiyulu illunu chuchi illanu chudu.
Therefore Bharatiya says, first look at the home and then the lady behind.
Ee gruhamu anetundi streelaku oka pratishtha sthanam anetundi oka devalayam.
Home is a prestigious residential abode, a temple for a woman.
Grihalakshmi anetundi title ichindi.
So woman has the title Grihalakshmi.
Intiye kaadu,
not only this,
patiki ఏమైనా కొన్ని అవస్థలు, కష్టములు, నష్టములు, దుఃఖములు సంభవించినప్పుడు,
when husband faces certain problems, difficulties,
ఆ బాధల్లో అర్ధభాగం తాను పొంది,
she shares half the burden,
అతనికి సరైనటువంటి ఒక సహాయం చేసి,
and she renders help that
అతని కీర్తి ప్రతిష్టలు నిలబెట్టుకోవటం కోసమని ప్రాణములు కూడా త్యాగం చేసేటువంటి వారు స్త్రీలు.
A woman is ready to sacrifice her life for the respect and the reputation of the family.
ఈ త్యాగమునకు పుట్టినిల్లు స్త్రీని.
A woman is the embodiment of sacrifice.
కాని పురుషులందు ఇట్టి త్యాగం లేదు.
Such sacrifice is not there among men.
ఇట్టి త్యాగం పురుషులందు ఉండినప్పటికీ అది స్వార్థము, స్వప్రయోజనంతో కూడి ఉంటుంటాది.
Though man has sacrificed, it is utterly selfish.
కాని స్త్రీలందు స్వార్థరహితమై ఉండినటువంటి ఈ త్యాగము.
But sacrifice is selfless among women.
స్వప్రయోజన రహితమైనటువంటి ఈ త్యాగమునకు,
it is never for self interest.
భారతీయులు ఎంతనో గర్వించవలసినటువంటిది.
Bharatiyas should feel proud of woman.
ఎంతనో ఆదర్శంగా పొందవలసినటువంటిది.
In fact, this ideal should be followed.
ఇలాంటి స్త్రీల వల్లనే భారతదేశం ఈనాటికి కూడాను ఏ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అభ్యంతరములు కలిగినప్పటికీ, ఎన్ని కష్టములు, ఎన్ని నష్టములు, ఎన్ని దుఃఖములు, ఎన్ని పరదేశీయుల యొక్క బాధలను కూడా సహించి దీన్ని కాపాడుతూ వచ్చింది.
Because of such ideal womanhood, Bharat should continue and live up to the expectations in spite of all foreign invasions, the conquests, difficulties and problems.
Name and respect of family.
Women must necessarily learn.
చదువుకోవాలి, ఆ చదివిన చదువు ఆచరణలో పెట్టాలి, ఆచరణలో పెట్టినటువంటి దాన్ని ఇతరులకు అందించడానికి ప్రయత్నం చేయాలి.
A woman should necessarily study, practice all that she learns and share with everybody.
వీరు చదవకూడదని, వీరు అధికారులు కాకూడదని, వీరు ఆఫీసులు పోకూడదని, ఈ విధమైనటువంటి ఒక నిబంధనలు కేవలం స్వార్థంతో నిర్మించినటువంటివి.
But if we say that woman should not have formal education, that she should not go to a job, she should not occupy exalted position, these are all said out of
selfishness.
In fact, a woman can control the whole world, ensuring security.
Itti pavitramaina mana prachina dharmamunu samskrutini nilabetti nimittamai.
In order to uphold the ancient culture and dharma,
ప్రతి నెల 19వ తేదీ స్త్రీల యొక్క దినంగా ఏర్పరచుకొచ్చాం.
19th of every month is categorized as the ladies' day.
ఈ స్త్రీల వల్లనే ఇంకా పూర్వం భవిష్యత్తు లోపల ఒక ధర్మస్థాపన జరగడానికి అవకాశం ఉంటుంది.
Dharma can be brought back by women alone in future.
కేవలం ఇది స్త్రీలకు మాత్రమే హక్కు అని అనుకోకండి.
డోంట్ థింక్ ఇట్స్ ఎ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ రైట్.
మీరు కూడా దీంట్లో హక్కు ఉంటుండాలి.
మెన్ ఆల్సో హావ్ ఈక్వల్ రైట్.
మీరు కూడా దానికి ఏంటంటే ప్రోత్సాహం ఉత్సాహాలు ఇచ్చి మీరు కూడా అందులో పాల్గొన్నారంటే ఎంతో దేశము నిత్య కళ్యాణ పచ్చని తోరణంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
మెన్ ఆల్సో షుడ్ పార్టిసిపేట్ ఎంతూజియాస్టికలీ, ఎంకరేజ్ పీపుల్
అండ్ ఇంప్రూవ్. మీరు దీనికి ప్రోత్సాహం ఉత్సాహం ఇవ్వకపోయినప్పటికీ వాళ్ళకి అడ్డు తగులకుండా ఉండటం అదే గొప్ప ఉపకారంగా ఉంది.
ఇఫ్ మెన్ కెనాట్ ఎంకరేజ్, అట్లీస్ట్ డోంట్ అబ్జెక్ట్ విమెన్ వర్కింగ్ ఫర్ దిస్.
To set the tone of the discussion, let me start by asking you panel members, in your personal and professional lives, which of Bhagwan's teachings about women appeal to you the most? Sheila, would you like to say something?
Yes, Chetna. One of the Swami's teachings about womanhood was, it goes like this: everybody has a mother as a source of life and body. So mother has to be strong in mind and body, steeped in culture and good character, sanctified in holy thoughts, full of love and dedication. Good mothers make good nation. This is the guiding principle in my life, and I feel that qualities play a vital role in shaping a woman, because she has to balance both personal life as well as career.
Yes.
And to balance this, you know, she requires three things. One is patience, perseverance and determination, without which, you know, she will not be able to balance these two roles. Secondly, we should take whatever happens in the world as it comes, so that it evolves us spiritually also. Not to forget the human values, which is very important for personality development.
Yes. Doris, want to say something?
It's very difficult to single out any particular teaching of Swami's about women, because to become aware of the qualities that we have as females, and he so beautifully brought that message to us and reiterates it through his discourses. In both my professional and personal life, I put forth every effort to remember that Satya Sai Baba is my very breath, and that wherever I am, he is. And through his discourses and teachings, and he mentioned in the clips we just saw that women are endowed with 7 spiritual qualities or attributes. So this is so helpful as a female because we see so many negative images of women in our social media. And so the awareness of the 7 qualities that we have and the reiteration of those helps to build our self-confidence that we as women are capable of achieving or manifesting whatever our God-given talents are.
Yes, we just heard those 7 characteristics in the clippings. Besides that, resiliency and nurturing, intuition, creativity, passion, self-value, and sensitivity, these are really natural to women, aren't they? Madhuri has got something to say. Madhuri.
The most important message of Swami regarding women is that women, particularly mother, have to be respected by family and society. This is an ancient teaching of Taittiriya Upanishad which says, Matru Devo Bhava, meaning regard mother as God. Mother is an epitome of sacrifice or tyaga, as she always strives for the happiness of the entire family by constantly sacrificing her own comfort and happiness. The Vedas proclaim, Na karmana na prajaya dhyanena dhanena tyage naike amrutatvamanashahu, meaning neither by action or wealth can one attain immortality. It is only by tyaga and sacrifice. The lesson for mankind is that mother has to be respected if there has to be peace and love in the family. Women should strive to inculcate this high ideal in the minds of the entire world.
Well, we just saw in the clips that we were shown how Swami stressed on the role of mother as a Grihalakshmi. Basically, somebody who is an architect of culture and values in a home. I've seen in many homes that when a woman takes a personal interest in inculcating human values into members of the family, elders and young ones alike, the home shines cheerfully with a certain love, compassion, understanding and feeling for fellow human beings. This is irrespective of the presence of helpers in the house for the housework. For example, a maid can make the tea and bring it in cups on a tray. But when the husband serves those cups of love with love and feeling, that tea takes on a special flavor. This has greatly appealed to me. I try to extend it, the inculcation of human values in my professional life. But given the constraints of the real working world, it has been an uphill struggle, but I've done the best that I can. Thank you.
Swami once said in one of his discourses in a women's college, Maharanulla Gundandi. That is something that touches my heart a lot since my childhood. Maharanis of ancient times lived in palaces, but they were involved in all the things that were to be done in the state or in the government, in the decisions, in the duties of the king. So similarly, women today should take up, be aware of everything around them, what's happening, and then adapt to that in society and make their family adapt to that within the cultural traditions and within the norms of the society. So adapt to the multiple roles as a woman, as a mother, as a teacher, as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter-in-law, as a daughter, and then your profession as a doctor, since I'm a doctor. So it's just like that.
Okay? Dr. Lakshmi, the word Maharani, Swami used it in a college that is called Maharani College, Jaipur, in 1968.
Talking of what has appealed to me most, I would like to quote from Bhagwan's discourse in the inauguration of the Anantapur College in 1968. I quote, Swami says women, they are like a fortress of Indian culture. And Swami adds on that rejuvenation of this culture is a very important aspect of his avataric mission, and women have a historic role to play in it. Here is Swami giving us a direct and specific role in his mission. Swami says culture means raising the level of expectation and of individuals, societies, their very existence. A woman can do this by empowering and sort of raising their values and sharing this with their children and society at large. Swami has often told the alumni, I want you to inculcate values in your children, the very ideals I have taught you. I would incidentally like to tell you about an alumni who taught her children prayers and emphasized saying this should be a one-to-one communication with God. And this girl chanted the Linga Ashtakam for a Sanskrit recitation class as if she was conversing with Lord Shiva himself. And the impact can be summed up when a little child in the class got up and said, this is the first time I felt that prayer is not a mechanical chanting of words, but the very expression of love itself. This is the power that a woman who fosters culture can have.
Well, Nina, very well said. There's definitely a symbolism involved in Bhagwan starting this institution for women in Anantapur. I sincerely believe it is not just for manufacturing God-loving, shivering, timid mothers or homemakers. He also meant to bring about women of character that can contribute for the well-being and progress of society as a whole, irrespective of East or the West.
While I agree with you, Chetna, I think we should direct the panel's attention to something even more deeper. I think Swami used to relate to each person as atmic reality. And in this reality, gender pales, all differences actually pale. You know, we live in a world which talks about empowerment in terms of economics, empowerment in terms of power, women empowerment. But Swami's way of empowerment was through the soul. And I'm sure all of you agree that every time we are in His presence, we feel this energizing force.
Of course.
And through this force would come self-confidence. And this self-confidence is what actually impacts the world. So I think if we are trying to live nobler lives or live for an ideal, we owe that completely to Swami. And that's the most inspiring part about Swami.
Of course, I would like to also share a small incident here. I agree with you, atmic reality is the very base. But talking about empowerment, I recall my very precious moments with Swami when I would go to take instructions from him regarding the workings of the Ishwara Women's Welfare Trust, how it should be carried on and etc. I observed that various times Bhagwan was really very interested in knowing and also addressing these issues of women, their career, their empowerment, and he believed in educating women, and he discussed that in brief but very precise and very involved, and he would speak about so many role models.
Yes, Swami would pay attention, great deal of attention to details too.
Of course. And when it comes to role models, he's often talked about quite many epic characters too.
I agree with you, Chetna. I feel in my personal and professional life, Bhagwan has emphasized on a lot of qualities, but it's this quality of steadfastness in a woman which has always appealed to me. We have seen Bhagwan often praising this quality in a woman, and which has given birth to various epic characters and role models like Savitri, Mother Teresa, and Florence Nightingale, and so many more. We all know that it was this because of the purity, patience, and perseverance of Savitri that Satyavan was brought back to life. And we also know that Mother Teresa could give succor to millions of people because of pursuing a cause and a vision she believed in. Florence Nightingale, she could face all the odds. She came to be known as a lady with a lamp because she tended with a lot of love and care the wounded soldiers, and she ended up establishing a nursing order of dignity which we all see today. And why should we go to the past, you know? I see in my daily professional life too, the mother never gives up the hope of cure in her sick child. When everybody around her and, her family has given up, she continues with hope and faith.
Yes.
And it eventuates into a miracle, you know, a miraculous cure. So I think this quality of steadfastness in a woman, it takes...
I'm sure, doctor, you would see them all happen every day in your profession.
Oh, yeah. We see
and these qualities certainly will push a person to achieve what she wants. With these qualities, she can even steer her life when used in a very discriminative manner, in a very, very more meaningful way.
Well said, Chetna. These qualities not only make our lives meaningful, but it also enriches the lives of people in our family.
Exactly.
And that reminds me of one very beautiful quote of Bhagwan, which is my favorite. He says, "The house takes the shape of the women in it." Which is my favorite quote. Way back in 1995, that year I got married, I did not know anything about Swami. I was not exposed to Swami or his teachings. And just a week after the wedding, my mother-in-law was cooking for this monthly Narayan Seva. She was cooking large quantities of food for about 100 people. And the term Narayan Seva, I was alien to that term. The term was alien to me, I was alien to that term. And what happened was she had finished cooking and I just went up to her and asked her, "You've been working since morning, Amma. Now can I cook for the family?" She gave me a quizzical look and said, "Whatever cook for Narayan Seva is what all of us have that day. It's a Swami's prasadam." So that was my first experience of Narayan Seva. And the following month, on the day of Narayan Seva, she was not in town. And it was a Sunday and I didn't know it was the day of Narayan Seva. And I heard the doorbell and when I opened it, I was shocked to see some 20 small children waiting outside the door. And when I opened, they just looked at me and said, "No Narayan Seva today." And then I in turn asked them, "Oh, is it today? Auntie is not here, so no Narayan Seva." There was one small boy in the group who looked at me and said, "But you are here, why did you not cook?" My God, I felt somebody had given a severe blow on my head that day. And so I somehow convinced them to go back with a lot of guilt in my mind. I came inside, I called my mother-in-law immediately over the phone and I told her, "Why did you not tell me that it was Narayan Seva today? I could have purchased something and given it to them instead of, sending them empty-handed." And she didn't want to trouble a newly wed bride for a thing. So then I told her, "As soon as you come back, I want you to teach how to cook for 100 people." And that was my association. That's how it began, my association with Narayan Seva. And you won't believe, Suma, the moment I started, it's not just the immediate family, the extended family, cousin brothers, cousin sisters, friends, and now Balika's parents are actively participating in Narayan Seva. Why I'm saying this is, when a woman attaches, whatever a woman attaches importance to, whether it is the diet, whether it is the exercise, whether it is values, whether it is regular bhajans at home, the entire family follows suit. So the house indeed takes the shape of the women in it. Don't you agree, Salila ma'am?
Yes, Priya, I agree with you. I recall the days when we were all students in Bhagwan's college in the 70s, early 70s, and Bhagwan used to visit the campus very often. Those days whenever he came to the campus, whether in the auditorium or in the hostel prayer hall, or even in the lawn when he sits with a group of students and he's talking in the evening, he always stressed on the importance of modesty. And I feel, since then, I always give importance to modesty. And modesty is something which is very, very essential for women. Without modesty, woman is devoid of beauty and culture. Now, there are certain qualities like humility, purity of thought and manners, surrender to high ideals, sensitivity, sweetness of temper. No, the blend of all these qualities is modesty.
Absolutely.
She becomes aware which behavior is proper and which is improper. She knows what to do at the right time, and she will not crave for either honor or praise. Praise and honor will come to her automatically. And I think with this modesty, many problems in the world can be solved if the woman is modest.
I agree. Dr. Sue, do you like to say, add on to this?
Of course, I'm a teacher. I always have something to say.
That's a pleasure.
As many on the panel have been noting, women have many good qualities. Swami certainly taught us that women are worthy, and women should be respected. Ideally, women should be respected equally with men. But women and men are not the same. Each one has their role to play in society. It seemed to me, Swami laid out the roles for us, and it seemed to me that these roles he was describing were not at all a description of the modern era that we live in, but they came in the context of some sort of an ideal society or a golden age, and he promised us several times that this golden age was coming soon. So for me, this teaching of his had personal meaning. It gave me the courage to carry on through times that were made more difficult than they had to be by my being a woman. And in those times, women really had to become men in order to succeed in their careers. So Swami's teachings encouraged me that I could follow a woman's way and still succeed.
I'm glad you said that, Dr. Sue, because the very purpose of this panel is to make the point that we don't have to worry about the gender and still we can succeed. A woman must feel free to be herself, and we understand she is not a rival to a man. And at the same time, she should use the capacity, her personality, and we understand also that women are traditionally conservative. At the same time, they also have genius of synthesis to adapt and to absorb, to change and constantly remain changeless, which is a very divine quality in her. Do you agree with me? Thank you. And we all feel, I'm sure. Do you feel you're all glad that you're women?
Yes, of course.
Of course we all feel that.
Come from the audience
also. Do we all feel we are women? We are glad about it?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. That was a beautiful first round of this panel. The panels express the teaching of Bhagwan that has suited them or touched them the most. This leads us to a second round of question. When we watch Bhagwan, when we hear his discourses at various times, it looks as though there is a conflict in what the teachings are about. For example, the role of life of a woman in the modern world versus the role of life of the woman in the ancient world, the ideals that they followed, the ideals we are told to follow, motherhood versus career, all these seeming conflicts, which I think we don't find them really a big deal to resolve in our lives. They're only seeming conflicts in the teaching. Essentially, there is no conflict. Fundamentally, it is all the same. So, professionals as you are in your own way, there must have been various times, various incidents you would have faced and found out a way to resolve these things.
resolve the conflict, seeming conflict. Have you been able to resolve this for yourself? Would you like to answer this? Madhuri, would you like to?
Swami has always recognized the need to be good at multitasking. In many of his discourses, he has spoken of mother's role at home and outside. Seemingly, he emphasized the role of a woman at home, while we see in practical ways Swami has encouraged women's education, women professionals, teachers, doctors, nurses. He always asked them to maintain a balance between the career and home, particularly in upbringing the children. In our own family, though, Swami knew that we come from the family of lawyers, he always remarked, "You look after the family." He made loving inquiries about everyone and explained many philosophical truths in simple ways to all of us.
Yes, motherhood is something that one has to see it in a very sacred way. We observe that in the clippings itself. Without that, it is really impossible to conceive of progeny or progress, as Swami said, least of all civilization or saving of earth.
Chetna, what the question you raised, I feel, is about role dissonance. Now, the role conflicts, I think, come because of not being able to make your priorities right. Swami says, of course, that motherhood is an important facet of a woman, and this is a non-delegatable, non-givable, privileged activity that a woman engages in. And this is important because society itself depends upon her playing this role well. At the same time, as we heard in the clippings, he says, if need be, she can occupy positions of power, she can engage in a career. But what he comes down strongly on is if a woman follows a career, or follows anything for that matter, any action, motivated by selfishness or to appease her vanity or some such quality, which kind of poisons everything she does. So what we must watch out for is the motive.
Absolutely.
More than the action. That's
absolutely
what I feel.
Absolutely. Yes, I believe what you said, career and empowering were also Bhagwan's concern for women. If you look at it, the times when he started Swami's college in Anantapur in 1968, if you look at the most advanced, so-called advanced societies like United States of America, that's the time in 1970s, women were even struggling to have that equal opportunity with men in the universities over there. That's the time when Bhagwan gave us an exclusive college for women in Anantapur, when the rest of the world, so-called advanced societies, were struggling to have one for themselves or equal with men. Do you agree with that, Lakshmi?
I totally agree that there is a conflict between career and the home. There is a conflict definitely between the career and home. But then looking at all the economic requirements of the families and the financial support that is needed in today's world, women should take up jobs. They're forced also sometimes to take up, whether they are illiterate or literate. Like, illiterate women also have to go to work to support their families.
Yes.
So it is important, but then professionals should try to serve society, so they should have a balance between the home and their career. But at the same time, I believe totally in mother and child bonding. So whatever she may be the prime minister of the country, but she should give time for her children in their formative years. That is important because that is the basis of the country tomorrow or whatever. And then you should also know how much of your career is enough for you and how much is taking a toll on your family. And then balance it equally and do justice as far as possible to both. If you have to sacrifice, you have to sacrifice your career a little bit rather than your home.
I think that gives you happiness.
Who else can say more on mother and child bonding? Being a gynecologist, Lakshmi, you said it very well. I also would like to add something more to this. A woman can be doing a lot of, making a lot of sacrifices, and she can do a lot of things at home and outside. But it's not always true. It's not always rosy as we imagine that we can do and everything will fall in place. We can lead the world. We can do this. We can do that. But we forget and we want that even the household people, the immediate society, the places at work, even the government and the nations should support. Then there will be definitely a successful role she can achieve.
Actually, Swami did say this in the discourse keeping.
Did I say something that was good? Did I add on to that? That's my privilege.
Yeah, we all need support from the family. Many a time we are at crossroads when we look to Swami's teachings for guidance. And Swami's teachings are so dynamic, as Suma rightly pointed out. However, it is only when we understand the spirit and apply it in our lives using our discrimination and common sense that we get the conviction and self-confidence. Student, the conviction becomes very important. And now Swami always says, common sense before spiritual sense. So in my case, when I left the job in a multinational bank for the responsibilities of family and motherhood, initially I was not fully convinced and happy with the decision. It was all the more hurting because my mother also was not very happy, because it was an extremely good phase in my career at that time. But when I invested the time and energy in the family with full enthusiasm, I found it was so rewarding and so fulfilling in every way. And I discovered my passion for being with children through the Bal Vikas program. And all this, my mother could actually see that I was happier. And this happiness reflected in the entire family.
Of course, you chose the dharma, that is swadharma, that was appropriate for you in your circumstance at that point in time in your life. And, you know, sometimes you may make choices of this kind. And when you really do, truly do it, there will never be a sense of remorse, regret, or guilt even. So Swami always said to use common sense. He always talked about this common sense when it came to these things, and said, what is the use of education when you do not use your common sense and discrimination?
Talking of the conflict between motherhood and career, there is no smooth path to solving this conflict, just like there's no golden road to success. I have experienced it many times indeed. And there would be times when I would go through a great deal of turmoil and confusion to the extent that I couldn't think straight. Yes. And then I would just put the whole thing aside and think of all that had gone into making who was me. You know, parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, well-wishers, their love, their support, their encouragement. And at that point, my path would slowly become clear, and invoking the divine and the guru's blessings, I would just follow the path which my conscience said was correct under those circumstances. That meant sacrifice in either motherhood or career. But I never repented, because I realized what I was doing was the right thing. Swadharma. Thank you.
Thanks for giving that clarity, Girija, because I always wondered how, being a scientist and a mom, you were able to, you know, balance this and, you know, lead in your career too. Thank you.
I don't agree, Chetna, with this, because not with the point of which Madam Girija spoke. I don't feel that there is any conflict between Swami's teachings on about the role of women and our own lives in the modern world. Because it is very interesting to note one thing, that over the years, if you have really observed Bhagwan's discourses from time to time, there's a progress, he stresses on the progressive views on the role of women. That is, what he spoke about modesty, for example, in the 1970s to the group of students in Anandapur campus is different from the same modesty. He has reworded it differently to the modern child. So he's the mother of all mothers. He knows what language to speak at what time to the children. So the women can change themselves and change the people around them. When they have the qualities of sympathy, compassion, love and sacrifice, I think they can control the whole world. And Swami always has stressed upon one thing, that is, woman is the embodiment of love and sacrifice. Moreover, there is some, it's apart from the biological mothers, I think there's a mother in every woman. You take, for example, the primary school, Sri Sathya Sai Primary School at Prashanthi Nilayam, or you take the institute at Anandpur campus. If you really observe, most of the 99% of the teachers are all unmarried. And it is with the motherly feeling that they are able to inculcate the values to the children and bring them up into good citizens of the country. So therefore she can make or mar the world according to her capacity. That's what I feel.
I agree with you. I really appreciate the hard work and sincerity that our teachers in school here and also at the colleges are giving for last several decades. To add to that, you're right, the choice is yours, and the womanhood itself is, I understand that as a weapon by itself. Whether you want to use it for constructive purposes or you want to use it to destroy yourself and the surroundings and even the nation. And, even by not using it can also be very harmful. We seldom think of that. And that's where we need to be extremely discriminative. And Bhagwan talks about mind control. At this point, I would like to remind ourselves about this mind control. Mind is a very, very powerful thing, which you can, make a person, it can make a person a demon or even divine. So, and also the mind, it controls the intellect, Swami says. Mind controls the intellect, and the intellect is guided by Atma. So the powers of mind first we must really understand and then balance it in a very delicate manner. Now, before, it was a beautiful round. Thank you, the panelists. I would like to thank the panelists for giving your, views on how you have resolved the seeming conflict and had been very successful in dealing with that. This is a question and request to the audience and the participants here. We want to invite members of the public to respond to these questions. If you have any comments, questions, queries, you can reach us at our website. The address of it will be provided as you leave the hall at the exit points. So this leads us on to the last round of this discussion, which is the third one. As I would like to ask you all, as Sai devotees, how do we balance our roles in the world and work toward spiritual satisfaction? Yes.
I'd like to comment on this process of balancing that you've raised in the question. I think as we go along through life playing all of our roles, we get so invested in them. And we come to believe that we are those roles. But I think we need to keep some of our attention always on the inner, keep an inner focus. And the longer and more intensely we do that, Swami taught us, the more we can detach from the roles while still playing them. Ultimately, even being a woman itself is a role, and one we have to detach from if we want to move along the road toward that spiritual satisfaction you mentioned.
Of course, Dr. Sue, your word reminds me of the word in Bhagavad Gita, sthita prajna, which means equanimity. It's really very difficult to be that way in the world today. But I think that sthita prajna literally means you're not affected by any opposites that happen in your life. So it is very difficult to practice to be still in that manner. But I'm sure with His grace, as we go along in our lives, constantly looking in that direction. It's a constant integrated awareness, as Bhagwan says. Balancing our internal and external lives, I'm sure we would be able to achieve that particular detachment and move further in that direction. I don't know when we will achieve this in lives to come, but I'm sure we should make a beginning.
When you say detachment, the term that comes to my mind is detached attachment that Swami so often says. Whatever roles we assume as wife, as mother, as daughter, as daughter-in-law, as an organization member or a Balvikas guru, if these roles are coupled with inner reflection and inner growth, then automatically there is spiritual satisfaction is what I feel. Swami gives a beautiful example. He says, take a cup of water and add a spoon of sugar to it. When you take the water from the surface, it is tasteless. However, if we mix the sugar, then every drop of water is sweet. Similarly, if all our roles and all actions pertaining to the various roles are suffused with love for God, devotion, then worldly roles are mere instruments for spiritual satisfaction, is what I feel.
Talking of Swami's teachings, they're all an epitome of simple common sense and rationality. There are many, but the two which have helped me live practically are one, live and focus on the present moment rather than dilute it with petty thoughts of the past or the future. Take for example, I think Swami's given this example, water in a river. What's gone is gone. You can do nothing about it. What is coming, you have no control over. But the water in the river right in front of you is for you to use in the best possible manner. I have found it very, very useful because it gives me full concentration on the present and hence peace. The second teaching that I have found very helpful is in any complex situation, and life is very, very complex, follow your conscience, and with a clear conscience, when the situation demands, just do your best and have no regrets. For me, these two teachings of Swami are like beacon lights. They show me the path and give me peace and strength in my spirit. Thank you.
Of course, the past is past. You cannot go back into it. The present is very important. Future, we do not know about it. That's really very useful to concentrate on. Neelam, you want to add something?
Yeah, I personally feel that work is worship and duty is God. What more can one ask when one is working in an institute which has been founded by Bhagwan on a very lofty ideals that healthcare should be free for all mankind? I mean, tell me where in the world you get healthcare, tertiary level healthcare, completely free.
Of course.
So the lofty ideals already set by Bhagwan that healthcare should be completely free, universal, it should be tender with love and compassion, it should be comprehensive. They set the, benchmark for all of us workers who work there, and they transmute every work into worship. Not only that, the omnipresence of Bhagwan with his guiding principle, it makes us all continuously feel that, and we are able to discharge our duties with the thought that human life and human birth is very precious and it should be tendered with utmost love, care and reverence. Thus I feel that because we work in an institute, which has all this guiding principles for us, it becomes very easy for us, and there is a very thin line between science and spirituality. So Bhagwan's motto of service to man is service to God becomes a very good example on how one can spiritualize one's work there.
Yes, Neelam, yeah. This is really, I would like to really add on to what you're saying. Where else can we find a hospital like this in the entire world, even if you search, in its unique operations and style and with the motors and beliefs that it works? And I also like the idea, these doctors, when we go to them, it's surprising to see that they say, we treat and he will cure, with so much humility and with no ego. And I really like all the doctors
both from general hospitals and the Swami super speciality hospitals, for doing tremendous work round the clock for meeting these goals. Thank you so much. And Nina wants to add something to this?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I read this quotation in the hospital, Sai is the surgeon.
Yes.
And carrying on, as a teacher, I've often thought of what Swami has said about Prahlada, and who told his father, he is the real father who directs his son towards God. In an interview, Swami had told us that our children in school are not Kama Putras, but Prema Putras, and we must shower unconditional love. We are mere caretakers, nurturing Swami's property. What is really fulfilling here is when we are able to insert a small seed of value which blossoms only because of the love and guidance of our beloved Master. Swami has often assured us, saying that we are like cogs in the machinery of the progressive Sai movement, by saying, be assured, for my messengers come from here. What more can we ask for? Swami says women are not weaklings but mighty. So let us trust in him and resolve to serve his mission. You know, we are so lucky because our God is not an alien in heaven. He is Sai shining in our hearts, the consciousness within.
Yeah, ever present all the time. Yes, Doris.
And as we move through life using Swami's teachings and us remembering that he created this huge world, and this world is like a big classroom for us, replete with lessons to be learned. So we're learning the lessons, and as we come forth or confront conflict, what we might view as a conflict or different obstacles in life, and remembering with his teachings that these are mere wake-up calls for us to do self-inquiry. How can I best play the role that I have to play in this lifetime, and to help us sort out our roles in this world? And also for us to remember that he has given us himself, and along with that, numerous ways to navigate through our life's journey. And I'm really taken to his Satya Sai Education and Human Values program, where the culminating part of a lesson is practical life application. So I feel that as we work on establishing, strengthening, and having faith and trust in our own personal inner relationship with Swami, the more capable we become in making good decisions, because we know that he takes us in the right direction, right action, which is a part of his Education and Human Values program. And so as we move forth and remembering this and using this in any situation we may face in life, that that God is guiding us and taking us to where we should be, and that's oneness with him.
Of course, as Bhagwan always said, beyond an individual, there is this consciousness, and which is guiding, guarding, and taking care of us. And it's just not enough to know this, but one has to also learn and skill, and in tuning into this is very important. So once we know how to tune into this and skill it, as we move forward with that experience, I'm sure every decision we make and every turn we take in our life will be guided, and will obviously have success. Thank you. Sheila wants to say
Chetana.
Sheila.
You were saying this about consciousness. Along with this consciousness, there is what is known as conscience, which keeps talking to us. And we have to keep listening. Once we stop listening, our conscience
stops talking. Now, to evolve spiritually, Swami has often quoted, hands in the society, head in the forest, which simply means have a detached mind on materialistic things or objects and redirect yourself to service of mankind or humanity. Now, we have been talking about qualities. Not all of us have been born with all the good qualities that we have talked about that women have. We have to do certain sadhana, or, you know, as a mediator, what is required is listening, that capacity or capability of listening, and having lot of patience, not to lose temper, because as I say, you know, in most of my training programs, there is only a difference of T, the alphabet T, between mediation and meditation. T, you remove T from meditation, that is losing of temper. So, and it becomes mediation. Therefore, one should not lose temper, which is very important. All these requires channelizing of our energy. And how do we channelize it? By sadhana, through yoga, through pranayama, dhyana, satsanga. This is what Swami says. This we can always devote some time in our lives, so that we evolve into that spiritual bliss.
Yes, Sheila, times have changed and women have to take different roles in our life. And the roles that we play today may be so different from the roles that our mothers or grandmothers have played. Something like that really doesn't discard or change any fundamental values. That is what Swami has been, really emphatically talking about. We only mold our lives using these qualities, suiting the circumstances of times we live in. And the need of the hour demands us to perform without compromising on any of these values. And as you said on the positive note, yes, I can, and yes, I will, and, you know, Bhagwan is with me, I will move on, is an overall attitude we must all develop constantly at all times in our lives. And, you know, as you said, the synchronization of thought, word and deed is very, very essential. Even if you want to think about that, you know, Salokya, Samipya, Sayujya, that is the final end that we want to achieve, I'm sure we have to have the harmony and synchronization of all these things.
See, spiritual satisfaction comes from taking all work as a sankalpa of God, like the doer or the act or the result, everything is decided by God. And Sharanagati to God is something which gives you complete spiritual satisfaction. You don't have any hitches about, I didn't do this, I didn't get this, I was supposed to get something more. You don't have those things. Swami has decided, you have got this much. Swami hasn't decided, you didn't get that. So that helps you go on your spiritual path. And then, as Swami has always assured us, Me inta venta kanta janta undi mimmalni kaapadtanu, I am always there with you. So I think that's the greatest assurance for all of us to move on in our careers and in our home.
Yes, Dr. Lakshmi, sense of surrender is very important, and Swami said surrender to God and he'll take care of everything. And we remember this famous sentence that Swami said, take one step towards me, I will take 100.
I think this difference we are making, or the process as Sue mentioned and everything, boils down to only one thing.
Yes.
We identify our highest purpose and align the rest of our life to this higher purpose. It's like what Saint Bernard says, spiritualize the natural, naturalize the spiritual. And the more we do this and the more things begin to clarify, so the role dissonance or any of the things that we talked about will slowly melt away as we become more authentic beings. That is, what we completely believe in, we have to sort of integrate our life into this. And this is something which, as human beings, we need to be there.
Yes. In conclusion, I would like to say that the panelists, thank you all, done a very wonderful job. But what I observed is essentially the points that we have covered now brings to my mind one quote of Bhagwan: heads in the forest, hands in the society. We don't have to leave our lives in the society in order to perform well. We don't have to go to the forest or discard our duties and responsibilities. Swami said we can be here and achieve it now and here. As the other panelists like Suma, Lakshmi, etc., everyone said, balance is very important, and we all practically know that it's a very it's a tightrope walk. One has to use this discrimination and common sense in dealing with entire life without forgetting our roots, that it all originates in divine will. And we must understand that we play our roles and play them well without compromising on fundamental values. And with faith and determination, we must go on, that Bhagwan will lead us on towards that spiritual goal which we all aspire to, for ourselves and also for the future generations to come. Bhagwan often talked about epic characters. I would like to conclude by talking a little bit on this very favorite topic, Sita. If you look at the image, the idea of Sita, she shapes the Indian womanhood. And not only that, she is not alien to this world. She is found in every woman's heart, whether it is East or in the West. She is a woman of her own mind. She rejects every attempt to destroy her dignity or force her into servile subjection. She is the epic woman of courage, and there are great lessons to learn from her. Lessons in independence, in assertiveness, we see in Ramayana. I really recommend the viewers, the people present here and people around, kindly take Ramakatha Rasavahini of Bhagwan and read it. Because each time I read, I found something new, something different, and something so beautiful. Always some learning from there. So we see that she refuses to accept injustice, Sita, and humiliation, besides lessons of love, commitment, and devotion. You see how she balances. And she lives in her own terms, in spite of the abandonment and rejection, repeated heartlessness. She's a role model for all women of the world. There is Sita in every heart. Sita comes to us with a warning. This is what essentially all the teachings of Bhagwan tell us. To live authentically is not a very easy thing. The sum and substance of all Bhagwan's teachings is to live authentically. I would like to thank each and every one of the panelists here. Let's pray that Bhagwan will give us more clarity on all these teachings in years to come in everyone's lives on this path towards Him. Thank you all. I request there will be a distribution for children that we chose from the rural areas of Prashantanilayam. There are 500 girls and boys seated there. As the chairs and tables move from here, they come on, and there is some giveaways for them. And also there are 50 women from these villages for whom this sanitation project has been made to receive their keys for that today. And I also like to really thank you again, thank you audience, thank you guests, and thank you all. Jai Sai Ram.
gajavadana. Hari Nandana Sai Gopala. Ishwari Nandana Sai Gopala.
Shubhadai Janani Pateeshwari Janani. Simhavahini. Sloka Sukhino Bhavantu Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.